Mexico focused gold producer, producing 30 to 40,000 ounces of gold this year. Cash flow positive with an incredible development project coming down the pipeline in Ana Paula. We think we can get to around 200,000 ounces a year of annual production from 2028 onwards. We've grown quickly. It's one of the defining characteristics of our company is the speed at which we move.
Charles Funk, Heliostar Metals. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. So, let me give you a little bit of background, my listeners and viewers here. I'm somewhat familiar with Heliostar, and when I say that, I did some due diligence, and they're getting a reputation for really coming into production, and then also they have a significant war chest, and we'll cover that money. Cover all of that in this talk, but really, Charles, for all of those not familiar, let's get a 30,000 foot view of Heliostar. Give us what the projects are and what you guys are trying to do, and give me your jurisdiction.
Yeah, so we're a rapidly growing Mexico-focused gold producer, producing 30 to 40,000 ounces of gold this year. Cash flow positive with an incredible development project coming down the pipeline in Ana Paula. We think we can get to around 200,000 ounces a year of annual production from 2028 onwards. We've grown quickly. It's one of the defining characteristics of our company is the speed at which we move.
Yeah, and what is fueling that growth? What's making you guys grow so quickly? Is it the asset in the ground and you guys taking it to market, or is it new discoveries? Tell me all about that.
A mixture of science and luck, if I'm honest. It comes back to the philosophy at which we founded Heliostar. So I came from big companies in Australia before I moved to Canada, growth companies that acquired assets and then ultimately Newcrest. So very comfortable in that space. And we decided that we wanted to build a mid-tier gold producer when we founded Heliostar in 2020. We just thought there was a gap, particularly in the Canadian markets. Where it's not as common to try and build producing companies. And the big guys were moving away from that 100 to 200,000 ounce a year producing size. And so we thought there was a real opportunity. And if you do it well, every cycle produces these kind of companies. And if you do it right, you can build a multi-billion dollar business. So we started out in 2020 in Alaska on a project in the market that wasn't really there for us. So our big change came a couple of years ago. We bought the Ana Paula project off Argonaut Gold, a project that had had over $100 million invested in it. It had sold for over $100 million. It was permitted for an open pit mine. It is permitted for an open pit mine. And so that technical view, we took a very different view. We think it's a high-grade underground for technical reasons. And so incredibly, we paid $10 million down and owed Argonaut $20 million. And spent the next 12 months changing the complete scope of this project and getting, I think, broad acceptance that that was the right thing to do for Ana Paula, a very attractive ore body, which hopefully we get to in the conversation. And then, we got a bit lucky mid last year. For those who know Argonaut Gold, they continued to struggle with the capex of a mine in Canada, and ultimately, I think, frankly, it sunk the company, and so they sold all their assets. And incredibly, we paid $5 million to buy two producing mines in Mexico, cancel the $20 million that we owed, and the market moves quickly. Mexico as a jurisdiction's got a lot better to work in under the new presidency. These projects, we found a lot of upside in the projects. And of course, we're living in very fortunate times for gold producers. So, two pretty big counter-cyclical moves as a company that got us a very deep portfolio that we're systematically unlocking.
Yeah, so there's a lot there, and I want to pull out some of those questions. You mentioned grade. What is the grade of that you have right now, and why is that important? And you bought two assets, and they are producing, and your cash flowing now. Is that correct on those two assets?
Yeah, so to answer your first question, Ana Paula. Ana Paula has this spectacular core to the deposit called the High Grade Panel. It's 280 meters long, 100 meters tall, and 60 meters going between 5 and 5.5 grams per ton gold. Very high grade for a bulk underground gold mine. And grade matters because grade is the greatest proxy for margin. And the greatest, there's deposits in the world when gold was $250 that people said when they go to 500, oh, think of the money they'll make, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. What people ignore is outside of this exceptional purple patch that we're in now, gold margins are around $200 to $400 an ounce. And you get through windows like we look like we're in for the next, at least 12 months, maybe 2 years, as long as it lasts, the better for me, where you've got huge margin, but eventually wages will go up, diesel prices will go up. These are the big drivers for gold production. That margin is likely to shrink if history is any guide to the future. And so the only thing that saves you is grade. Grade is what makes money in gold mines, and it's why we're fixated on high-grade deposits.
Yeah, very well said and well answered here. Talk to me a little bit about the jurisdiction. I want to make sure I heard this correct. You already have a permit to mine for open pit, but then you've taken this to an underground mine. Is that correct?
Yeah, so our asset base is spread across Mexico with an additional project that's in the US. Our key projects, our two operating mines, are in Sonora and Durango. For those who don't know Mexico, that's like being in Nevada and Arizona. Our key development projects in the south in Guerrero, immediately north of Torex, one of the world's biggest gold mines. So, the jurisdiction was one of the reasons that we got these assets so cheap was the previous president of Mexico. Everyone knows him as AMLO. He was very, very tough on the mining industry. Wouldn't progress permits, wasn't able to change the law despite his best efforts. And so, what's been a huge boon for anyone with exposure to Mexico is the Claudia Sheinbaum became the president in October last year, and you're seeing a return to normal processes, which you're seeing it in the value of any Mexican stock is obviously a great thing. We actually bought the assets with a pathway, even under the AMLO presidency, that we could make good money from them. If we're able to get what's come to pass, then it makes our assets even more attractive under the current presidency. So I think Mexico is really significantly on the up as a place to invest in mining. And the first half of this year, a return to confidence in Mexico is a very clear tradable theme for anyone looking to buy gold, precious metal, any mining stock in Mexico.
Yeah, I'm very actually quite familiar with that. I have mining companies that own in my portfolio in Mexico. And the issue for the last, I don't know, I want to say 3 years, 4 years previously to the new administration was the cancellation or just not reissuing mining permits for open pit. And I'm just really clear, you have an open pit mine right now, correct? That's
So we
significant.
have two open, so two operating open pit mines, and we have a key development project, Ana Paula, that's permitted for an open pit mine, but for technical reasons, it's lower upfront capital and it makes more money because you get to the high grade quicker.
Right.
It's one of the few ore bodies in the world that undergrounds lower capex than open pit. That's not common, but it is specific to the case of Ana Paula. So we're changing that's politically very attractive. So it's a very easy thing even under the previous president, you saw those kind of permits getting granted. So we've got a mixture of open pit and underground deposits. We would like to expand all of them. How we expand them was different under the previous regime as opposed to under the current regime.
Yeah. And how are you navigating Mexico? And I mean that with on your staff, or do you yourself have experience there? And do you have a lot of people on the ground or good people on the ground to navigate all of that?
Yeah, I love Mexico. I've got a long history in Mexico. Some of your listeners might know Vizsla Silva. So I was the founding VPX, led that discovery. Had worked for a company that's now Origin Royalties before that in Mexico. So I've got a pretty good trap line of connections of projects, engineers, lawyers, accountants. And we got, not just the mines we bought off Argonaut, we bought their management team, their operating team. So we got assets with the people who'd been mining them for the last 7 to 10 years. That is almost as valuable as the gold in the ground in terms of a quality team that had been underinvested in, projects that hadn't had the attention because this money was being stripped out to fund builds in the US and in Canada. And now for the first time, You've got a team unleashed on their own assets where their profits are being reinvested in their assets. And that's where some of our real successes, particularly at La Colorada at the moment, are coming from.
Yeah, I'm familiar with all those companies that you mentioned, and yes, fantastically well run. So, talk to me about share structure here. What shares? How many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted? Tell me about where the options and warrants are written at, and all of that.
So we've got 244 million shares basic and just over 300 million fully diluted. And major shareholders, Eric Sprott, Franklin Templeton, Adrian Day Asset Management. We've done this over the last couple of years in tough markets to put this together. We were a very unpopular company while we were putting these assets together. It's why we got them as cheaply as we did. The perverse benefit of that is you get an incredible shareholder list. We got, only people who truly believed in the vision that we had and were prepared to buy straw hats in winter. Long only gold funds, and so that's why we've got some of the names that we've got on our register. So we started out when we bought Ana Paula, we had to issue stock at 22 cents, with a half warrant at 30 cents. So we have warrants at 30, 40, and 90 cents that are in the money. Expiring over the next 12 to 18 months. We've traded with those for the last, well in the money for well over 6 or 7 months. So there's no overhang in the stock. They represent about $14.5 million Canadian that we expect to come into our treasury over the next couple of years, as long as we continue to deliver and grow from our current share price base.
Okay. So what is the plan now moving forward is and I want some a little bit of clarity. You're already in production, or are you going in production in June?
So we're in production now. We produced about 20,000 ounces of gold last year. We're guiding 30 to 40,000 ounces of gold this year. We've got, what we're trying to achieve, big picture, we want to be a half a million, 500,000 ounce a year gold producer by the end of the decade. That's what we think we can nearly get most of the way there with our current portfolio, and maybe most enticingly, with very little to possibly no equity dilution. So the reason that we think we can do that is the production, the cash flow that we can generate from the current operating assets. We believe we can put enough cash on the balance sheet to fund the build of Ana Paula, and bring that online with a sort of a project facility, and instead of going for equity, use cash on the balance sheet. So it's a pretty unique situation that a company can grow that size without material dilution. And that's the key to the value proposition of Heliostar. If we get the 200,000 ounces a year of production, the peer group suggests that's in and around $1 billion valuation. We're at 200 to 250, depending on the market at the moment. If we can do that issuing very few shares, well, that's a pretty attractive return on investment for a shareholder.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic return on investment. Real quick here, with gold at over 3,000 an ounce, are you guys, what are you selling at? Are you hedged, or how much of your portfolio is hedged?
So 0% of our portfolio is hedged. I saw the drama in Newcrest when it came out buying out its hedge book in the early 2000s. So philosophically, it's not, I'd rather hedge my input costs than gold. There will be certain circumstances, new builds, strip back, cutbacks on pits where it's prudent now, or the banks will force you as part of the project facilities to maybe moderate a little bit. But philosophically, our approach as a company is to have full exposure to the gold price. And clearly that's, we're well over a $1,000 margin at the moment. It's an incredible time to be a gold producer. We had about $2 million US in cash when the deal closed on the 8th of November last year. We grew that to 5.5 at the end of the quarter. We've materially grown that again this quarter when we put that out. And we've paid off the $5 million that we borrowed to acquire these assets. Incredibly, we bought the Argonaut assets with very little, like 1% dilution to the company. So we've retired our debt. We're currently debt-free. We're growing our balance sheet quite strongly. We just topped up with a financing that allows us to really go faster. So we just raised 19.5 million Canadian dollars at a dollar in a no warrant financing. We didn't need to do the financing to run the business. We chose to do the financing because it allows us to be more aggressive and we think create more shareholder value. We're now going to take two rigs straight to Ana Paula, looking to grow that resource, convert more inferred across. All our resources are open. So the key to us as a company is to continue to grow that resource base and accelerate our growth in production.
So, wow. And I mean that. I'll just talk to my listeners and viewers right now. I am not a shareholder at the dropping of this interview, but this is very attractive to me. And this will highly likely change after this interview drops. I will be buying in the open market. What I like, you can't put a really a you can't put a value on it, but going into production at these prices and then not being hedged, I'm getting into all of the upside. So that is fantastic. And then, Charles, you said a key word. It sounds like you can finance most of your future growth yourself. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, so right now we haven't closed off our quarter end, but we have somewhere between mid 20, it's around 25 million plus or minus US dollars on our balance sheet and zero debt. We have a number of levers that we can pull to expand our production. At La Colorada, if we spend 30 million in capital, we can probably recover about 80 million in cash flow over the next two and a half years from La Colorada. At San Augustine, if we get the permit to expand San Augustine, it's 10 million of capital for about a 40 million return over the next 18 months. So that allows us to build our balance sheet quite strongly, which then allows us to go and build Ana Paula without any additional equity dilution. Now, I'll never guarantee that I will raise money if it brings more production online and if it grows my resources. So not so we have that choice and that optionality that other people don't have. We control the timing of our need for capital and we'd like to tie it to growth, which is exactly what we did with the last financing. It allows us to go and do the biggest drill program in the history of the company to look to grow and increase the confidence of the resource at Ana Paula. So we have a very unique pathway to create a company worth a lot more whilst keeping our share structure really tight.
Yeah, that's music to my ears as a hopefully a future shareholder with
It
you.
comes from our philosophy. We want to go into production. We want to be a producer. So we started out from day one knowing that we didn't want someone to buy this off us and this was our exit. We want to get as many dividends as we can from being a stable producer in the future. So the more of the business that we own as managed, we honestly made our life quite difficult in the period of time where we was putting these assets together to try and minimize that dilution because we gave up a lot to get Ana Paula at the start. We did warrant incentives outside of the money. We had very supportive shareholders. We did harder roads to find financing options to try and minimize that share dilution. And over the last 2 years, we've consistently, when we've raised money, raised it at higher prices. The cost of that capital has decreased for us in the fees that we pay. We haven't paid what, we've gone from warrants to half warrants to no warrants. And the business is maturing. And that's the power of production, particularly in this environment, which none of us, honestly, if we're honest, predicted these kind of margins for any gold producer.
Yeah, it is a great time to be a gold producer.
Especially one with the alpha that we have. The business is growing in the background of one of the most incredible tailwinds that the gold industry has seen probably since the late 70s.
No, you're absolutely right. Charles, what exchanges are you traded on? What are your ticker symbols?
Yeah, so we're on the Venture Exchange as HSTR. We're on the OTC in the US as HSTXF. And we're also in Frankfurt with RGG1 as the three ways to be able to buy Heliostar shares.
And how do they find you online?
Yeah, so come to our website, www.heliostarmetals.com. Just made myself sound old, but for some reason I couldn't help the www at the front. Or engage with our social media. We try really hard to engage our shareholders, show what we're doing. We put out a recent series showing how we turn, gold in rock to doré bars. So find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. There's plenty of ways to find us. Or reach out to myself or Rob Gray, our IR manager, directly. Just come to the website. You can find the contacts. Love to answer any questions, any due diligence that anyone needs to know to learn more about the company.
Yeah, fantastic. I will put all of this in the show notes below this interview on YouTube, as well as on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Charles, I want to thank you so much for coming on again to all my viewers. As of this recording and dropping, I am not a shareholder, but that's highly likely going to be changing here in the next several days. Thank you, Charles. Love to have you on again really, really soon.
Thanks, Andy.